The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Smith cycling, moving and crisscrossing with Eklund, gives William the puck. He will turn counterclockwise and slide to Celebrini on the right circle. Moves back to the right point. Now Celebrini shoots. Score!
Macklin Celebrini just completes the hat trick, and the Sharks win in overtime, 3-2.
Yeah, I think, you know, you learn every time. You get another game under your belt, and I have as well learned, and some things, how I want the game to be played, and you know, systematically, relationship-wise with the players. You're getting more comfortable. We're continuing to grow this thing, and it's building, and we're seeing some results from it. We still got a ways to go into really how we want to play consistently. But we've definitely taken a step.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The San Jose Sharks put an end to their mini slide of two losses and get a win at the tank last night against Utah in overtime by a final of 3-2. Macklin Celebrini playing the role of hero with a hat trick. He is the fastest player to 30 points as a teenager since Sidney Crosby and Mario Lemieux. He is continually writing his name in the history books night after night, game after game, special moment after special moment. And a lot of things could have gone differently for the Sharks last night. I think that they jump out to that 2-0 lead. Macklin Celebrini just bang, bang. They're barely 6 minutes into the game. He's got two goals, and they can't add on from that point. And that's relatively expected because the Sharks have not been playing great lately. They've been able to win some games, two out of their last four, but it's not been as complete as they were previously. But this was a game where Utah, on the second night of a back-to-back, a little bit of a desperate situation for them as they were really, really good in the month of October, but they've only had, 2-3 wins in the month now of November, where they were going to push back big time. And on the second night of a back-to-back, you could see Utah finding their legs. And after the Sharks did score those first two goals, they couldn't really regain the momentum. They couldn't really regain what they had been able to do with that start of the game. And you see them just kind of start to lose control a little bit. But at the same time, they did not concede goals till later, which I think is a big part of this. They kept on absorbing the push from Utah. They kept on being able to keep them off the board. And you saw some really nice play from the fourth line of Stopchuk, Reeves, and Barclay Goodrow. You saw just the Sharks being able to handle what was coming at them. Yaroslav Askarov made some monumental saves. But when Utah did eventually break through in the third period to make it 2-1 and then 2-2, the main difference I saw compared to the first two games of the year against both Vegas and Anaheim, games that the Sharks lost in overtime, the main difference was that there was no sign of shoulders slumping. There was no panic. There was no sense that this game was going to get away from them in any way, shape, or form. This was San Jose ready for the moment. They had been there. They had digested those previous moments of failure, and you could tell that it wasn't going to happen again. Now, the wildest thing about this is that all of us, from the moment Macklin Celebrini gets that second goal, barely 6 minutes into the game, or not even 6 minutes into the game, you were thinking it. I was thinking it. Everyone was thinking Macklin Celebrini is going to get a hat trick in this game. I had very, very little doubt about whether or not that was going to happen. It just kept on getting pushed later and later into the game. And when it gets into overtime, I'm guilty of this, but the first thing I thought was Macklin's going to win this game. That, for a thought process to happen, for lack of a better term, is unfair to a 19-year-old, yet at the same time, 1,000% accurate. I knew he was going to win that game. You knew he was going to win that game. And I think that everyone on Utah probably felt it was coming as well. And again, he's 19 years old. He won't be 20 until the Stanley Cup final is either in game seven or over, right? This kid is 19 years old. He is playing at a level that is absolutely incomparable right now in terms of what we've seen from a player this young in any sort of recent history. He's constantly putting his name next to those of Sidney Crosby, Mary Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky. You know, it's just, it's remarkable to watch. And I think that you can get into the hyperbole of it and you can get into the reactionary process of it, but it's all valid. We're watching Macklin Celebrini do absolutely incredible things. And again, it's just wild to watch him be that guy who we know is going to go out there. He's going to change the game. He's going to break the game. He is going to win the game. And he does it now consistently. This isn't just an occasional moment where he's going Super Saiyan. He's doing this consistently. He's coming up with a big play at the big time. I think of all the Sharks game-winning goals this year, he's assisted or scored on all of them. And when they've come in overtime, I mean, that doesn't happen by accident. He assisted Will Smith. He assisted Colin Graf. He won it against the Rangers with his own goal. He won it last night with a goal. I mean, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head if there's any ever a moment in overtime this year where the win hasn't been and because of Macklin Celebrini. I'm sure I'm forgetting one, but I mean, that's the overwhelming majority if I am forgetting one. And he's not that impressed with himself. And I love that he has this psychopathic mindset where I honestly believe he's doing the Michael Jordan where it's not just that it's a debate about him being on Team Canada. He's viewing that as a personal insult and why he has to go out there and just show everyone night after night, game after game, that he is 100% worthy of being on that team. And he is doing it very effectively, for lack of a better term. He is showing everyone that he is one of the best players on the planet, that he is one of the best players out there for Team Canada, and he deserves a spot on that team. Now, there are some other things to take into consideration, like age, like guys that have earned it over the course of their career. I'm not trying to say that Macklin Celebrini is a shoe-in, because I know there's a lot of considerations to make, and guys earn their spots over the entirety of their career, but the way that Macklin is playing is absolutely insane. And by the way, I will note last night that Connor Bedard also had a hat trick for Chicago. I know a lot of people are getting into this Macklin versus Bedard type conversation. I don't care. I'm enjoying every single moment of it. We have young players as well as Carlson and Anaheim. You've got Schaefer. You've got Hudson. You've got all these incredible young talents around the NHL doing absolutely incredible things. I enjoy every single moment of it. I am not worried about any sort of player rivalry until the Sharks are in the playoffs against one of these teams. So for the time being, enjoy Macklin Celebrini being 19 years old and doing incredible things. Enjoy Connor Bedard being 20 years old and doing incredible things. And the stats about what these guys are doing as of late completely backs it up. Just completely makes it absurd as to what we're seeing. Macklin Celebrini in his last 14 games. He has 11 goals, 13 assists, 2 hat tricks, and the Sharks have posted a 9-4-1 record. That is a WTF stat line for any player, let alone a player who is in his second year in the NHL and is 19 years old. My God, none of that makes any sense whatsoever. None of that should be happening, but it is. The skill level that these guys walk in with is off the charts, is off the chain. And if I had wanted to make today's show just talking about how historic the play has been by Macklin Celebrini and Connor Bedard, here's another one for you. There's just so many tweets. But last night was only the second time in NHL history that two players 20 or younger had hat tricks on the same day or night. The other one came in February 19th of 1944 when Jack Hamilton and Bud Poilievre did it for the Maple Leafs in the same game. My goodness. My goodness. Now, let me add on to that. Connor Bedard's last 10 games, 10 goals, 11 assists, 21 points, 2 hat tricks, a 6-2-2 record for Chicago in that stretch. I mean, guys, this is incredible. And I've been saying it a lot lately. If you've been listening to my interviews that I have been doing the last couple of days with whether it's been the gentleman, Tony LaDuca, Anthony LaDuca from Hockey Psychology, whether it's been Shannon Skanes, a hockey guy, whether it's been Matthew McConnell of the TV broadcast for Utah. Every night, I feel like we're seeing incomparable skill. Every night, I feel like we're seeing a candidate for goal of the year. And when you have these young players coming in with this high of a skill level, it's amazing to watch. It just every night, our minds are getting blown by the exploits of these young players. And all I can say is enjoy it. You know, we were talking about that ad campaign that the NHL started last year, that this is the next golden age for the NHL. I 100% agree. It might be beyond gold. It might be just the greatest era ever in the history of the game. And that's no disrespect to any generation that came before it. But the level of play that these kids are coming in with, the skill set combined with the superstars that are still playing at such a high level, whether it's Ovechkin, whether it's Crosby, you know, of two generations ago, and now we're talking about Connor McDavid. You know, he's right there. He's tied in second with points with Macklin Celebrini. And then with the young players, the Macklin Celebrinis, you know, the Bedards, the Carlsons, etc. The skill level is everywhere right now. The superstars are everywhere right now. And I would just say enjoy it. Don't turn it into a rivalry, because it isn't as of yet. It'll be a rivalry when the Sharks and the Blackhawks meet in the playoffs, which if it happened this year, I'd be very excited about. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Easy, Teddy. Calm down, boy. But I think that's the fun that we're all looking forward to, because we know and we like to think that at some point that these two are on a collision course. Same story with Carlson and Celebrini. It's all part of the narrative that's being written here in the Western Conference. And the NHL up to this point of the season has been relatively wide open due to injuries, due to a number of circumstances, teams not playing the way that we expected them to. I mean, I think everyone's just kind of waiting for Edmonton to go on a heater and do what they usually do around this time of the year. So it's made for a lot of fun. Now, one of the other things that became a talking point after last night's game was Ryan Reeves' new shark's head or shark's mouth necklace. And this is why Ryan Reeves is such a great locker room pickup. And I'm not trying to say anything negative about any of the guys that have been here since Jumbo left, especially not Mario Ferraro, because Mario Ferraro has done so much and put so much on his shoulders. But I think it frees up Mario a little bit to have another guy like him. And Reeves is. He's loud. He's proud. He's fun. He's come into the locker room. He's that guy who can be, you know, a relative enforcer with some skill out there on the ice. But having Reeves in a Sharks uniform has been great. He is such a great guy. He is such a great teammate. He's such a good influence on the dressing room. Him to get that necklace and kind of, you know, set the tone to be like, oh, you've got to wear this shark's mouth necklace and also take your shirt off for the post-game interviews. I mean, that's the type of fun that you would hope for. That's the type of fun that you would, you know, expect a guy like that to bring. But when you see it firsthand, that's how you really know how special it is. And I did not entirely understand the impact that Reeves has on a team until the pandemic season of a couple of years ago. Not the one that was cut short by the pandemic, but the one after that, where Ryan Reeves was in with Vegas and it was an empty SAP center, right? And I was in the, I don't know, it was either the owner's suite or the SAP suite to watch the game and do some morning tide stuff. And it was dead silent in there, right? Like, you're not used to seeing and hearing the game like that. And there were so many different points during the game where Ryan Reeves is on the bench for Vegas, chirping, getting the boys going, getting them laughing, getting them engaged in the game, getting them loud, you know, talking to guys on the bench, riling guys up on the bench, getting them going. And seeing that type of momentum that he can generate with his personality, it was really, really cool to watch. And seeing that impact that he's having in just the same way for San Jose, you know, every single game I watch him, talk, I watch him go out there and get in guys' faces. I watch him push back. That line last night of him, you know, stop Chuck, as well as Goodrow, they were out there coming up with the big checks, whether it was, you know, stepping into a lane to break up a pass, whether it was stepping into a player to provide some physicality. They did it time and time again. And, you know, obviously for Ostapchuk, it's a great opportunity. A guy who's young in his career, getting to learn from Goodrow as well as Ryan Reeves. Two guys who know how to be part of that mentality line. Two guys who know how to get it done. It just provides so much. And when you have a balance of different players and different lines who have different responsibilities, you get a little bit more of that concrete nature of roles on a team, to where instead of every line feeling like they have to go out there and individually win it, every line has responsibility, and they go out there and they take care of that responsibility, and it allows them to create more of control over the game, which when Utah is pushing back last night, it allows them to absorb it. It allows them all to get their jobs done. The defense plays with better structure. You set up Yaroslav Askarov to have better success, and the Sharks are able to manage that game and turn it into a 3-2 win in overtime. Even if it was not the prettiest win in the world, it was a win nonetheless. Now, we've got an interview with Reeves coming up, which I'm excited for you guys to hear, as well as Zach Ostapchuk, who, in my opinion, had a great impact on the game. And even after the game, Ryan Warsawski said that he felt that Ostapchuk was their best forward throughout the game. He said, obviously, Macklin had the goals, but Ostapchuk did a lot of positive things on the ice, which I 100% agree with. But we watched this team last night do so many things that were positive in a game where they were not 100% with their offensive game that you just have to be appreciative that they've been able to take these steps from those first two games of the year when they let leads disappear and turn them into losses. This game, they managed the pushback. I think we all knew it was coming, and they were able to step up to the moment when it happened. And then, you know, you go even beyond that. You look at Will Smith with an incredible assist, feeding Macklin Celebrini. You look at Colin Graf, who's getting time on the power play, who's obviously been killing all year long and is just such a responsible player. He assists Macklin Celebrini's second goal. You've got the excellent play of Vinny Desharnais out there on the penalty kill. You've got everyone stepping up. And even when the Sharks are not playing their 100% best game, you're getting enough quality play across the board to where they're able to learn how to win these games when things are not going perfectly. It previously was that the Sharks had to be perfect to win games. That is no longer the case. They're winning games when they're not perfect, and they're also taking care of business when they should. Last night, Utah's on the second night of a back-to-back. That's a game that the Sharks should look at on their schedule and say, it doesn't matter who it is, if they're on the second night of a back-to-back, we should win that game. Game number one this year, Vegas is on the second night of a back-to-back. Sharks do not take care of business. They lose that game. Plays a role in which they lost the six games to start the season. Last night, a different Sharks team shows up, a team very different from where they were after the first six games of the year, and they're able to take care of business and beat the team on the second night of a back-to-back, just like they did against Colorado earlier this year. Colorado, arguably the best team in the league. Beating them at any time is hard, but if you catch a team on the second night of a back-to-back, especially if they're on the road and you are at home, you got to win that game. Let's get into some of the highlights from last night's game. Yeah, Macklin Celebrini, the human highlight show. Let's go.
Here comes the Utah Mammoth attack. Moving up the ice, it's Hayton on the right-wing side. It's Yamamoto looking for it over to Sergachev. Taken away by Smith, and here comes Celebrini the other way. Across the line, dumps behind the net. Centered out in front, across the ice. Celebrini shoots. He scores! What a spectacular goal! Behind the net, Kurashev to Will Smith. Everybody and his grandmother thought he was going to shoot, but he pushed it across the seam, right to Macklin Celebrini. No chance for Vitek Vanacek. And Macklin Celebrini for the Sharks puts San Jose in front 1-0 with goal number 11 on the season.
Everybody and their grandma and Ted Ramey thought that Will Smith was going to shoot, but that's not the way it went down. He fed Macklin Celebrini, who puts one past Vitek Vanacek, to make it a 1-0 lead for San Jose. Macklin Celebrini with his 11th goal of the season, but he was far from finished on the night. And in the first period, as we look back at this one, it didn't take too much longer for Macklin to make it 2-0. As 5:58 of the first, he gets a fed from Colin Graf, and it's 2-0 San Jose.
Celebrini, good defensive play. Now here comes Graf, lead pass, Celebrini, semi-breakaway. Moving in, shooting it, star! From one end of the rink to the other, Macklin Celebrini makes the defensive play. He gets it back from Colin Graf, and then he beats Vanacek to make it 2-0 Sharks, 5 minutes and 58 seconds into the first period.
That would be his 12th goal of the season, and Macklin Celebrini just keeps things rolling for San Jose. Then Yaroslav Askarov, just as he did all throughout the game, but late in the first, came up with a big save.
It's held in. Keller tries to center. Schmaltz side of the net. Pokes at it. Two good saves by Askarov. Rebound out in front. Will Smith will backhand it up the middle and just get it out.
From this point on, we saw that the Utah Mammoth would be pushing back in the game, and the Sharks were not able to add any more offense. But in the third period, it's Peterka making it a 2-1 game, and suddenly the Sharks have a moment where you're all thinking to yourself, uh-oh, is this going to happen again?
Kraus is able to muscle it out. A headman feed. Uh-oh. Breakaway for Peterka. Moving in. Shoot. Score! That's the goal that the Utah Mammoth wanted. Peterka getting behind the Sharks' defense, racing in, making the dink, and breaking the shutout bid for Yaroslav Askarov. J.J. Peterka getting credit for Utah. That is his seventh goal of the season, and now it's 2-1.
The building got tight, but the Sharks did not. However, Utah would score again. But once again, I just never felt like the Sharks were completely losing control of this game. This was simply the game that was playing out before our eyes.
Back to get it, though. Here's Peterka. Makes the maneuver. Gets by Delandria. Down the right. Cross the line. Shoots one. Score! J.J. Peterka ties the game 2-2 on a play that went off of Askarov. And Askarov can't believe that it got through.
Yes, I'm sure that's one that Askarov wants back. However, if you're only on the hook for two at home, that should be a game that you win every single time. But again, I will go back to the point that San Jose did not freak out when Utah tied that game at two. They simply kept on playing, kept on playing. It goes overtime. And again, Macklin Celebrini.
Smith cycling, moving and crisscrossing with Eklund. Gives William the puck. He will turn counterclockwise and slide to Celebrini on the right circle. Moves back to the right point. Now Celebrini. Shoot! Score! Macklin Celebrini just completes the hat trick, and the Sharks win in overtime, 3-2.
The Sharks now 9 wins, 8 losses, 3 overtime losses, 21 points on the year, 2 points back of the final wild card spot in the West, 3 points back of the third place Kings in the Pacific Division. They're only 4 points back of where Anaheim is right now. I spoke with Ryan Reeves after the game. This is what he had to say.
We are here with Ryan Reeves after the Sharks' overtime victory against Utah. This was a game, man, where I have to think that, you know, with your experience, it comes down to that game management of being able to manage a 2-0 lead. You know, a pushback was coming. Did this kind of play out the way you expected it the longer that Utah hung around?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we carried a lot of that game. The chances were kind of even, but I thought we carried a lot of the game. But, teams are going to push back, especially late when they're down, and they did. But, as our power play, you know, didn't get a ton going during the game, regular play, huge goal in overtime, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. And, you know, I was looking at your line several times during the game when Utah was making their pushes. It seemed like it was dependent on you guys to be a little bit more physical, kind of make the big stops, the big poke checks, the big body checks. How much pride do you take in that and being able to look at it and say, all right, this is our time, guys. This is what we're being asked to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice when we put the puck in the net, but, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for energy and playing body and, drawing energy. And I think every time we got put on the ice, we tried to do that. Just simple plays, getting it deep and then getting on the body, being responsible in our D zone. So, he trusted us deep into the period there, into the third. So I thought we did our job.
Any frustration with the fact that the team was not able to build upon the 2-0 lead?
Yes and no. I mean, teams are going to push back. It's the NHL. There's, mm-hmm. 32 really good teams in this league, and, teams have good players, and they're going to push back, and they're going to get their goals. You're not going to get a shutout every game. So, I think you want to finish it in regulation, but, the resiliency to come back and win in overtime, I think, is the most important thing.
Was it pretty calm on the bench even when they did cut the deficit to 1 and then tied it?
Yeah, I think, after the first, couple losses that we had in the regular season, I think we've been a little more resilient, a little more cool, calm, and collected on the bench when things have gone, the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And, I feel like we've been bouncing back and not letting those things really affect us, especially late in the games.
This is not your first rodeo. You've been around this league for a while. Are you watching the confidence grow with this team, like juxtaposing it with those first two games of the season?
Yeah, I mean, these top guys, they're playing out of their minds, and, we're getting contributions up and down the lineup, so that's what you need to win. As they keep going, as you keep piling the wins on, the confidence is just going to keep growing, and I think you're seeing that right now.
Is it fun watching Macklin do his thing?
It's been an absolute pleasure for the last couple months, so I hope it keeps going.
What was your view of him previously? I mean, how much did you know about his game? I mean, I'm sure you'd seen the highlights, but it's not the same as when you were his teammate.
Yeah, I think he doesn't get enough respect, especially last year, and then, coming into this season, what he's done already. He plays the right way. He plays hard. He goes into the corners. He's not just kind of floating on the outside and getting his cookies. He's getting into the battles, getting in front of the net, and, that's what you need out of your superstar, and, to see him doing it this young is very impressive.
What have you thought about Zach Ostapchuk since he's come up with you guys?
He's been great. He was very good on the draws today. Played physical, played responsible. His confidence is only going to grow with more games. It's been fun playing with him the last couple games.
It's been fun watching, whether it's Ethan Cardwell or Patrick Giles, whoever's coming up. It seems like they're fitting in pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, everybody that's come up has played really well for us, and that's kind of what you need in an organization. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be guys who come in and out of the lineup, and you need those guys to step up. I think everybody that's come here has done a really good job of that, and we're going to need that continuing.
What did you think of Askey tonight?
He's been great. He's been playing. Both our goalies have been playing really well the last couple of months, and he's kept us in games. He's stolen us some games, and you can't win in this league without goaltending, and they've been proving why they're here, and they're really keeping us in games.
What's the plan now? Just get some rest and get ready for Thursday?
Absolutely. Have a beer or two.
There we go.
Hydrate tomorrow and get back at it on Thursday.
Do you have a go-to post-game meal?
Whatever's free out there in the locker room.
Good answer. All right, Ryan, appreciate your time, man. Congrats on the win. I'll see you Thursday.
Appreciate it.
Again, such a great dressing room influence on the San Jose Sharks, and I love his play out there on the ice. Then I got to speak with Zach Ostapchuk, whose game I have really liked since he's come up with the Sharks.
All right, we're here with Zach Ostapchuk after the Sharks' very impressive overtime 3-2 win against Utah Tuesday night here at the Tank. Just first off, man, how's it been for you since you've been up with the team? It seems like you've settled in quite nicely.
Yeah, it's been exciting. Obviously, I've been itching for a chance to come up, so whenever you get that opportunity, I'm just trying to make the most of it and play my game.
One thing that's really been nice about watching, whether it's been you, Ethan Cardwell, Patrick Giles, whoever's come up and had that opportunity. It really seems like you guys have fit in pretty seamlessly. And I talked to Nick Nolenberger about this, and he said that one of the things that helps is you are being asked to do the same thing on each squad. You're not being put in a different position. Does it feel like that rings true to you?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I play the same role down with the Barracuda than I do here. I do think that helps. Obviously, you're a little more comfortable with it. I think the guys up here are also super welcoming, so it's easy to kind of fit in and just be yourself. So
yeah, no, obviously it's a good group here, and you guys have been growing since the start of the year, and I'm just curious, in the short term, what you have been able to see from this group. Obviously spending some time with the Barracuda and up with the Sharks, and then last year, it's not like you've been with this franchise for a long time.
Yeah, no, I think you can really feel the hunger this year. I think guys are tired of losing, and I think that really shows. I mean, you can see the compete in this dressing room right now. You see that guys really want to win, and I think that's important. And yeah, I just see the winning ways starting to come out a bit.
I was just talking to Ryan Reeves about your game, and he was commenting on how detail-oriented and disciplined you are. Is that flattering to hear from an experienced player like him?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Revo's been great to me. I love playing with him. We're always chatting on the bench and stuff. He's someone I've watched for a long time, so being able to play with him and just getting to shoot it with him a bit, I think it's been awesome.
No, it's fun watching your line tonight, because I felt like there were several instances in which Utah was having their pushback, and it suddenly became dependent on you guys to be more physical, step into the pass lanes. There was one instance late in the first when they were trying to get a little bit of momentum. You had a great poke check that broke up their entry. Just little things like that. Is that, do you kind of take pride in being asked to do that at certain moments of the game?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I want to be a guy that's relied upon in those situations, and so do my line mates. So, I mean, before the game, me, Goody, and Revo, we talked quite a bit about setting the tone and, just being responsible, because we want to get out there and contribute.
Yeah, and just playing with two guys who have that much experience, are you just trying to learn as much as possible?
Oh, yeah, they're awesome. I mean, after every shift, we have something to talk about, and even if it's not, about that last play, it's about what we can do better or whatever. Just shooting it. I mean, they're really good guys. Make me feel very welcome on their line, and I like playing with them. We bring energy.
Was there any panic in your mind from the group when suddenly that 2-0 lead turns into a 2-1 and 2-2 game?
Yeah, no, I mean, what can you do? You got to just keep playing, right? I think that was the mindset on our bench. They score that second goal, we'll get them in the next 2 minutes in overtime here. That was our mindset. So I don't think there was any panic. I thought we handled it well.
Did you think the longer you let them hang around in a 2-0 game that they would eventually be able to get their way back into it? Or, it's different because, second out of a back-to-back, sometimes those teams that are on the back-to-back, they kind of gain more and more of their legs as it gets deeper and deeper, as opposed to the opposite.
Yeah, no, I think obviously the message going into the third period is don't stop, just best defenses go play in their end. So I think that was our mindset. Obviously, they're a good team. You can't let them hang around too long. You got to take away their time and space. But I thought we handled it, pretty well. I mean, they got that, lucky goal. at the end there. I mean, not much we can do. Just got to, you know, get back up and keep going.
What'd you think of Askey tonight?
Oh, he's awesome. I mean, even when I was practicing with him in the Barracuda last year, I'm like, this guy's legit.
And obviously Macklin doing his thing. Is that pretty fun to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. He's 19. It's like, I always have to remind myself he's 19. It's like, it's crazy to watch. I mean, he's such a special player. I just love his compete and, you know, the energy he brings. He's always skating. I mean, he competes off the charts. So. Yeah.
No, it's fun to watch. And how do you feel about your game right now?
Yeah, I think the last two games I've been good. I think I'm moving my feet. I'm trying to play physical and, you know, do whatever I can to try and stay up here and help this team win.
What's your plan now before Thursday? Do you have a specific go-to meal? And then after that, just try and rest up?
Yeah, nothing too specific. A lot of rest. I like my couch. We got a good couch at home, so I like to spend some time on that. My family's actually in town now,
nice.
So go hang out with them a little bit, take my mind off the game. But yeah, I'm excited.
Good deal, man. Well, I'll let you go. Congrats on the win, and I'll see you Thursday.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're out of time. Sharks win Thursday night. It's hosting LA. Remember, that's a national game on ESPN, so you're going to want to listen to Dan's broadcast right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Raymond, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.